Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Diane DeRista is back, ladies and gentlemen. Diane is a great friend of ours, a longtime Brain Trust member, the CEO of DeRista Communications, where she helps people just like you and me put our best foot forward in the marketplace, whether it be speaking or delivering our big ideas in the form of a proposal or a presentation. She's the author of the revised edition. That means the first one was really good. It's called Knockout Presentations and How to Deliver Your Message with Power, Punch, and Pizzazz. And she is our power, punch, and pizzazz lady. Diane DeRista, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
Always a pleasure to have you back, Diane. I'll say that English, much to the chagrin of the French, English is the international language of business.
That's right.
And Americans... That actually is fortunate for Americans in one way and unfortunate for Americans in another way, because it sort of makes us lazy. It makes Americans lazy when we travel abroad. That's one thing. The second thing is, I've spoken in foreign countries, but it was always to audiences who allowed me to speak in English because they spoke English very well. I've never spoken where mostly the audience didn't speak English. And that I've always wondered how that worked out.
Well, you know, I've spoken at both, and it's certainly more challenging when they're not fluent in English. But the mistake we make as native English speakers is thinking because someone's fluent that we can speak at our normal pace. So the first thing that you need to know as a speaker, as a presenter, is slow down. Slow it down more than normal.
That's not easy for me.
No, and for me either. But we have to do that because they need that time. And all... Here's what you need to do. You need to create longer pauses at the end of your sentence so that they have time for it to sink in.
You could never get away with that in America. You could never get away with that because they would think you were being obnoxious or something if you know what I mean?
Absolutely. But for a foreign audience, you really just need to give them that processing time. And the other thing that is important is if you're going to work with an interpreter, make sure that you meet that or speak with that interpreter in advance and that you ask them, where did you learn English?
Mm.
Because the ones who learn American English are easier to work with than the ones who learn British English.
No kidding.
You can work with both, but the American English learners understand your idioms and your process a lot better.
Well, there's conversational and there's classic. Let me tell you a quick story. I took a lady who to the Middle East on some business many years ago, who I thought was fluent in Arabic. Well, it turns out she was fluent in classic Arabic, but she could not speak their colloquialisms.
Right.
So we were basically dead in the water there.
Yeah. Yeah, so you really want to know who you're dealing with and give them the information in advance and go through it beforehand, because here's what happened to me in Russia. I was talking to women, would-be entrepreneurs, about selling to the U.S. market, because this was in 1993, and they did not have a market economy, and those concepts were not clear to them.
Right.
So one of the things I explained is when you're selling in a market economy, the quality control is important, and that means consistency. Mm-hmm. So if you were making Russian flags, each and every one would have to be identical.
Mm-hmm.
At that moment, the interpreter turned to me and said, oh, I thought consistency meant durability. So, you know, the way you define words is different.
Oh, yeah.
You can't make any assumptions.
Oh, yeah.
If
you've read any of the classics, including the Bible, studied any of the classics, including the Bible, you see different interpretations of words from the Greek to, you know, to Roman to you know, any of the Latin languages, any of those conversions. The nuances are dangerous, aren't they?
It's so true. So you want to work with your interpreter, and then you want to ask the question, is it simultaneous or consecutive interpretation. Many of us think of simultaneous because that's what you have at the UN. You speak and they're interpreting as you speak. But consecutive,
they actually don't. They don't hear your voice at all. They only hear the interpreter.
Uh-huh. Yes, but with consecutive, you speak, then you pause, and then they repeat what you just said. So here again, you need
to learn how to
stop.
Laborious. That can really be an issue. Well, I have a lot of my Brain Trust members speak around the country, around the world. Every month or so, one of my Brain Trust members at least has been to a trip somewhere else, and they seem to be able to speak English without interpreters in many places.
Yes, because a lot of people do speak English well. It depends on where you're going and what city in the country. If you're in a big international city, the chances are they'll speak more fluent English. Mm-hmm. But you need to know that. And even when they do, sometimes you want an interpreter there just as a backup. But
I spoke in a foreign country. I won't say which one because it doesn't matter, because I don't want to pick on them. But I used a lot of graphics in my presentation, a lot more than I usually do.
Good idea.
And they loved it.
Yeah.
They came up and thanked me at the end for using them. I mean, I clearly wasn't speaking down to them, but it helped get my words, my ideas across.
So here is a perfect example where you want to use PowerPoint, because pictures are a universal language, and those graphics really help them get the point, and it slows it down. So absolutely. And I loved what you said earlier when you said that sooner or later, as a small business person, you're going to be doing business globally.
No
and it's
question.
So true. And the same presentation skills apply, but what's different is you need to know your research or do your research, because you can insult someone without knowing it.
Yeah.
Here's a classic example. Number one, body language. You know the AOK sign we make with our hands?
Right. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, you can't say
okay.
that.
You know what that means in Brazil?
Oh yeah.
That is an obscenity.
South America, you just did the worst. I want to talk. Hang on to that. I want to talk about that kind of thing, the cultural thing. The ugly American tendency. That
yes.
I want to talk about that in the next segment. Diane, give us your website, please.
Diresta.com, D as in David, I-R-E, S as in Sam, T as in Thomas, A.com, Diresta.
All right, Diresta.com, and the book is called Knockout Presentations, and we're going to talk some more about this. We're going to get into some of the other homework you need to do, some of the sort of a state of mind that you need to have and never mind speaking. Now, all of us aren't going to give speeches in other countries, but you will speak to people in other countries, in your career, more than likely. And Diane's going to help us with that after these messages. 20 after. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.